that we hear a word today. I came expecting. I came expecting to hear from God today. So I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice, dear Jesus, that came energized to hear from God, dear Lord. As our Lord and Savior has poured into Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus, his cup is overflowing, dear Lord, to fill us up as well, dear Jesus. Let's eat together. Let's minister together. Let's bow our hearts and hear from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Somebody on fire.
Hallelujah. That's my wife. She used to be just really quiet. We don't need to start no church. We ain't ready for that. Emerson, that's what she told me. We don't need to start no church. That's too much. You're doing too much. I had to call Ben. He wasn't even Pastor Ben then. I had to call Ben. Let me call Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben said, let's do it, man. Let's do it. I'm with you till the wheels fall off. I was like, okay. The Lord said, listen to Pastor Ben. Now look at her.
I can't. Warrior.
I know. I can't even. I mean, always praying for somebody. Always on the way. Always going to do this. She used to praise dance and all that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you know, God knew. She said, call Pastor Ben. I'm like, let me call somebody the Lord want me to. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are here today. Our friend Randy's here from San Diego.
Yeah.
I love to talk to people like on the phone that I haven't met and they're on YouTube, but I get to meet them face to face because I'm a people person.
Yeah.
Whatever the cliche is, but I like hearing their testimonies too, because there's some incredible testimonies that God has healed people from.
Yeah.
And we don't even think about, you know, all these things that God is doing. We know what's going on here, but sometimes I talk to one young lady, I mean, delivered from prostitution, drug addiction, and homelessness.
Wow.
And when I talked to her, she was like, well, I have so much that the Lord has given me financially. I want to be able to bless somebody. And I was like, girl, don't you call no pastor. you called a good pastor. I told her, you put your money away and you save it just in case the Lord needs you, you know, needs it for you. Don't ever call nobody like that, you know.
Right.
And I said, right now we're doing, S4D is doing fine. Everybody's contributing little by little and everything like that. And I said, but girl, that's a dangerous thing. Yes. Yeah. Call a pastor and go, I need to give some money away. I was like, I love her. I love her. I'm not going to give her a name. She just knows.
Yeah,
I love her. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, girl, you better. Hallelujah. All right. Let me make sure I do this properly. The Lord had me write it down. We had a conversation, me and God, and I'll go over that conversation with you. It was short, but it was to the point. I was watching, someone sent me a video, and 12, he said, I think 12 fighter pilots who they were telling you have to take the jab or else you're going to be dishonorably discharged. He said 12 of them walked off, said, keep your career, we're not taking a poison to be a fighter pilot for the United States. And he's like, these people have worked to do this all their life, have been trained, millions of dollars to train them to do this, right? And they are experienced fighter pilots, but they have the sense to say, I'm not gonna stay in this for your right to poison me,
right?
Okay? So, after watching that, and then a couple of weeks ago, watching these firemen saying, man, I always wanted to be a fireman since I was a kid. And I, you know, and now that we're finally firemen and we're doing the job we love, we've been doing it for, now they're saying if we don't allow them to poison us, we're going to be, you know, we won't have a job. And he said, this is some crazy times. And so they're fighting it. People got lawyers. This is some crazy times we're living in, right? I'm getting hundreds of people sending me, like, I need an exemption letter, right? Because my religious exemption says I can't do it. And my common sense says I can't do it, okay? Now I understand there are some Christians who have already done it. And the Lord has a word for those people telling people who have already done it, who didn't know any better.
Right.
Or were deceived by media. If you use your Christian stupidity, and I'm going to say it that way, to tell that person they are not saved anymore and they took the mark, and that person walks away from Christ because you told them they're not saved anymore because they were deceived into doing this, God says that soul is on you. That soul is on you. You cannot tell somebody they're not saved because you're not a judge and you're not God. So your job is to pray for them, tell them, pray over their healing, pray over that it doesn't affect them, pray over that they don't get sick. You can do that, but you cannot tell that person, oh, you're not saved anymore, you took the mark. It's not the mark. You can't have the mark of the beast unless the beast is here, right? And the beast don't come till after the till the tribulation. Okay. And there'll be no tribulation till the church is gone. Thank you. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
That's from the Lord conversation with me about being soft. So so if I sound like I wanted to fight, I don't. I just I got checked. Okay. So in listening to all this, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you see what's going on, right? I'm asking God, you see what's going on. You see it. You know? So I said, what do you want me to tell the people concerning your thoughts on all this that's going on? Because people want to know, like, what do I do in this situation? So I thought God would give me like, okay, tell the people this. And then this is what the Lord said to me. He says, I don't spend a moment worried about my enemy and their plan. I have already solidified their judgment, their torment, and banishment. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. So then I said, then what should I do concerning what's going on? I mean, what are your thoughts concerning what's going on? Because I thought the first answer was like, I don't have any concern about it. I've already judged them and that's it. But I wanted to know, Lord, what are your thoughts concerning what's going on? And he says, how can I make sure? He says, this is it. He said, these are my thoughts. All I worry about, God said, is how can I make sure that as many people who say they know me are ready to enter the wedding feast? Mm. So he says, that is my concern. My concern is that people who say, I know Jesus, he's my Lord and Savior, that they're ready to enter the wedding feast.
Amen.
His concern is not the exempt letters. His concern is not what they're doing. They've already been judged. He said their torment is already set.
Wow.
Their banishment is already done. So he said, and he's not concerned about what they're doing. Oh my goodness, he's showing me. He says, the scripture that says, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He said, that is as true a statement as you'll ever hear, and you won't understand it till you get to the kingdom of God. I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, there have been Christians who were in plane accidents that never felt the plane crash because I took them out before the plane hit. He says, I've never forsaken or left anybody. He says, there have been Christians who, when you ask them in heaven, wasn't it painful to die that way? They're going to say, I didn't feel a thing. And he says, because I protect them in moments that you don't understand. He says, what parent has ever let their child be hurt and not rushed to them to help them relieve the pain? Yep. He says, I do incredible things all the time, and my people are always taken care of. So why would anybody in this moment find that God is going to say, I've decided to forsake the church and just do my own thing because, you know, what Satan got planned is just way too big. It's not happening. You understand? So we have to. And then the Lord said this one thing. When I come, Sandy, when I come, will I find faith or will I find fear? When I come, will I find faith? Will I find people with their hands raised up, praising me, knowing that I am God? Or will I find people curled in a corner with their tails tucked, asking God or yelling at God, saying, how could you forget about me? So you have a choice in this matter today, right? It doesn't matter what's going on. You can still wake up and put some praise and worship music on.
That's right. That's right.
And when you put praise and worship music, you know what Satan is going to do? Don't they know what I'm doing? Don't they know I got the big plan to get rid of them? Mm-hmm. What they doing praising God?
Right.
There's a song say you confuse him, right? And you should confuse him, because you should be like the apostles sitting in prison. Uh-huh. Just beat up and sitting in prison. Yeah. Bless his holy name. Mm-hmm. Wonderful is the name of Jesus. Yeah. They're in prison. They weren't at the mall. They're in prison praising God. And God is like, when I come, am I going to find faith or am I going to find fear? Right. So get yourself together and understand that God is coming for faith,
yes,
not for fear. You cannot let your enemy tell you you can't praise God.
That's right. That's
you can't, because if you're locked in fear, you can't get anything accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So God says, my only concern is that people are ready for this wedding. My only concern is that my people who say they know me are ready for this wedding, because there's a wedding plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a glorious wedding. There's tens upon tens of thousands of angels invited to your wedding. All the Old Testament saints, including Moses, Aaron, Joshua, will be at your wedding. And with all these angels standing around, and with all these Old Testament saints standing around, here you are, the church, standing before God in heaven, rejoicing over the fact that it just happened. So God says we need to understand what he does and who he is, because he says the testimony in heaven will be, how did you end up here? And they'll say, I was beheaded. And they'll go, oh, how was it painful, such horrible? They'll say, I didn't feel a thing. Why? God says, because I'm doing miracles all the time. So you guys don't understand. He says people that are Christians, that the plane goes down, he says, I snatch them out before they can cry a whimp. So he says, you guys don't know what I'm doing at all times. So we have to understand who we're serving, and that his power is greater than what we think. We look at the world. I was looking at the world that God created. And the guy said there are over, I think he said 150,000 different sea creatures.
Wow.
I'm like, that's a lot. He says, if we could go down and see all the different colors, all the different fins, all the different ways they survive, the octopus, he says, 150,000 different sea animals. That's just part of my creation. Let's not talk about the galaxies. Okay?
Right.
And see, so but man is so loved that he's mindful of you over all of that.
Yeah.
And so what makes you think he's forgot? So this is why God kind of said, you know, I'm not thinking about my enemy. His judgment's set, his torment is set, his banishment is set. I'm concerned about my people. So that's what I'm here for today.
Amen.
Praise God. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 22. Because we are going to be starting there. And I think, yeah, we're going to be in verse 1 through 15 or through 14. I'm so excited. I don't know. I feel like I need to throw a praise party. We need to, huh? We just have one night that we just come here. Okay, we're not going to preach or nothing. We just going to do praise music and dance around for 2 hours telling Jesus how great he is. That would be an awesome night, right? Then you find out Pastor Ben would love it with his funky chicken and all that.
Oh, okay. That's cool, Pastor.
I know your move.
Amen.
All right. It says, Jesus spoke to them again a parable. Watch this. Jesus spoke to them again a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who I've invited that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened cattle, and have been butchered. And everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. What city was burnt in 70 AD? Jerusalem and the temple. So who's the people that are mistreating the servants? The Jewish people. They were the first ones invited. Okay? But when the Savior, the Messiah, Yeshua came to them, they rejected the invitation. So God sent his army to do what? To kill them and to burn their city, okay? And so now God says, but you know, when you buy stuff and the party's already ready, you still need guests, right? So God says the wedding's still on, okay? Now he says this. He says, then he said to his servant, the wedding banquet is ready, but those invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Okay? I put on my notes, there's a website that you can go on and study this whole custom of a king throwing a banquet. Soon as you say, yes, I will come, you know what they do? They hand you the garment to wear to the wedding banquet. So as they're inviting all of these people to this wedding, they're also handing out garments. You understand? Because everyone that comes, everyone in that culture knew you have to wear the wedding garment when you get there. Okay? The king issues you the garment. So if you've been issued the Holy Spirit because you accepted Christ, don't try to get into the wedding banquet without the Holy Spirit, because they'll banish you out. You understand? Your job is to take care of your wedding garment. Do not let me come and find you naked and exposed. There, you're supposed to have this wedding garment with you. Take care of it, right? Because you're going to need it when? On the banquet day. Here we go. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Why was he speechless? There's no, you can't present a excuse on judgment day.
Ooh.
You understand? Mercy and grace is thrown out of the apocalypse says mercy and grace is thrown out because on judgment day, only thing is left is judgment. You can't have an excuse on judgment day because now you're standing in judgment. You understand?
Yeah.
So here he is. He says he was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, mm-hmm. but few are chosen.
Yeah.
I'm gonna clear that up. The few that are chosen is Israel.
Yes.
They're chosen. God has chosen them to do exactly what they're doing, to reject the Messiah, to do everything that they're doing. But the rest of us have been invited.
Yes.
We took an invitation. So we accepted Christ, we took the invitation, the garment was given to us, the Holy Spirit, preparing us for what? The wedding day. Because two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left is a fact, okay? The event will happen. And when it happens, you want to be in relationship with Christ, because if you're in relationship with Christ, it'll prove you have your garment with you.
Yeah.
If you are out of relationship with Christ, it'll prove that God said, take that Holy Spirit, remove the Holy Spirit from that person. Mm-hmm. And somebody go, oh no, the Holy Spirit sealed inside of you. No, that seal is a stamp. It's not a bolt and and chains. You're not sealed up
right.
inside of you.
Right.
It's just a stamp to say that you belong to God. And if you don't have the Spirit, Holy Spirit, it says you once belonged to God.
Yep.
Because there's a place for people who once belonged to God,
yep.
and we'll get to that at the end. Okay?
Awesome.
So listen, because God told me, I told you, yelled at me like, stop being soft. So we have to understand that this garment is to be worn, okay? And now I'm gonna go to Isaiah 55. Please go there with me if you have your Bibles with you. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, I believe it begins this. Listen what it says. Here's some advice for all of mankind before the rapture. Before it happens. Okay? Because some people, even with warnings, you're going to still try to do what you want to do. But God is saying, look, listen to me. Listen what he says. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's before the rapture, okay?
Yeah.
Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, or his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Amen.
Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. The heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Let me explain this before I read verse 10. Because he had me stop here. And he says, your garments are your ways. Your thoughts are your ways. You understand? If you have your ways and you have your thoughts, God says, abandon them, take my garments, my ways, and my thoughts, and put them on. You can stick to where you think and the way you think you should be saved and what you think is right and the religious way you've chosen and your thinking, and you can declare God's garment not good enough for you, and you're going to keep your own thoughts and your own ways. The Lord said, this is what the man at the wedding banquet did, because he knew he was part of the culture. He knew when he came in that he was supposed to have that garment on. He knew he was supposed to take care of it. But in his own thinking and his own ways, he came up with his own ideas of how he could be saved. He came up with his own thoughts on what salvation was. And God said, his garment became his thoughts and his ways, which are not my thoughts and not my ways, so it's not my garment.
Woo!
You understand?
Yeah.
So God wants us, since he's concerned about us being there, is to examine our thoughts and our ways.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to continue reading this.
Man, good word, Dr.
It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud flourish so that it may yield seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. The Bible, you hear me? Mm-hmm. The word of God is supposed to do what? Drop like seeds into your heart and flourish and make you grow, produce fruit, and change your thought life, change the way you do things so that your ways and your thoughts become like God's ways and God's thoughts, so you don't think that you can do your own thing and you're sitting there bragging about you know about the rapture. Because God is concerned that you're ready to go. Understand? Rapture ready. All I hear is what? Rapture. Nobody here ready. You understand? No, nobody here ready. That's been our message, right? Nobody here is ready. All he talk about is rapture. No, all I talk about is being ready.
Right. Amen.
That's the second one.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Now listen. It says, so my word goes out from my mouth, and it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Okay. So all of God's words is going to go out of his mouth, and it's going to achieve what he purposely put it out there for. The word of God has been spoken to give my life direction.
Yeah.
The word of God has been spoken to tell me what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was looking at, my daughter's, I have a daughter in Canada who's practicing homosexuality. And she said, she posted a big post. She said, because she has me blocked, but I can still look at it. She says, I am who I am, and people who really love me will accept me for who I am.
Mm.
And then you had a bunch of people commenting underneath saying, we love who you are. You have been such a wonderful person, blah, 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 right? She's established her own righteousness. Even though God says, this is homosexuality is an abomination to me, okay? And he says, they know the judgment of those who practice it, what will happen, but they've established what? Their own righteousness. Love is love. That means homosexuality is not an abomination, it's love. That's your words.
Yep.
That's your way. That's your thought. That's your garment. And that garment is not invited to the wedding.
Amen.
Amen.
So God wants us to examine our thoughts, what we declare as being righteous, and what God declares as being righteous. Okay? Because, and this is the part God told me, stop being soft. Only what I declare righteous will be righteous.
Amen.
Stop being like that with them. Because you know what? This is what he said. Look, let me go to this part before I finish up here. It says, if you hold on to the garment, you believe you can, you cannot. He said, if you hold on to your garment and believe you can enter as a black Hebrew Israelite, Jehovah Witness, Mormon, devout Catholic, or any other way or thought, you will die. Because if your thoughts and your ways are not in my book, you will die. You can't declare who Christ is.
Right.
You can't declare that Jesus is not the only, is not God in the flesh. You can't declare that because that's not God's word. You can't declare that there's another way to heaven other than Jesus because that's not God's word. That's your thoughts and that's your ways. You can't declare that Jesus was an angel. It's not God's thoughts and that's not God's ways. And God came out of heaven down here to die for you. So who are you to change the word of God, which is supposed to change your thoughts and your ways to his thoughts and his ways? So God said, they are judging themselves unworthy for the banquet by keeping their own garments on, which are their thoughts and their ways. And they say, oh, but I'm spiritual. That's your thought. How did you get spiritual?
Right.
I don't believe in Jesus, but I'm spiritual. How did you get there?
Right.
I want to know what spirit came into you without accepting Jesus.
Right, right.
Because if you're spiritual without Jesus, there's another spirit inside of you. Because you get the Holy Spirit from Jesus. But if you're spiritual without Jesus, you got something else.
Yeah.
And that's what you're dealing with. So God is like, my people need to check their thoughts and their ways. Make sure what you believe. Because I don't care you saying, I'm a black Hebrew Israelite. I'm not one of the mean ones, though. I'm one of the real nice ones that, you know, we don't really hate, you know, other races. We just realize that the Jews robbed us and they're living in our home because we're the original Hebrews. And God sent the black man to America and you're spitting all this stuff that God never wrote. But you think, I'm spiritual. I'm a Christian. I can't wait for when the Lord comes. Oh, his judgment. Oh, and you got the wrong mental attitude because your thoughts and your ways are not governed by the word of God. So you become a false prophet to yourself.
That's deep, man. That's deep.
You're teaching yourself to believe a lie.
Amen.
Let's continue.
Man, that's a good word, man.
It says, for those who believe, though, Jesus says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains, the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bushes, which are going to come to the tribulation, the thorn bushes will grow pine trees. Instead of briars, which is just thorn bushes and Satan's and satanic behavior, you will get myrtle trees will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. So God's like, I have a joyful plan for you to come into my kingdom, come into the wedding with joy.
Yes.
This isn't the plan I have for you, okay? I'm not concerned with what the enemy's doing. He's judged already.
Yes.
And he can't hurt you.
Yes.
You're in Christ. Don't you understand that?
Yes.
I don't know. Don't judge me by watching the movie Matrix, but I used to show the movie Matrix when I was doing prison ministry. Because I wanted these kids to know that that you're at a moment in time in your life where you can either stay the way you are or choose another path, right? So when we got to the part with the red and the blue pill, I would shut the movie off and goes, and I would say, this is where you're at. You can either believe in Christ and enter into joy and new life and change your mind about who you are, or you can stay the way you are and go back the way you were, and you will end up in hell and in torment. Then I'll say, now I'd like to introduce you to Daniel Hood. Then Daniel would roll out into his wheelchair and tell him how he died and went into hell. And then the kids would be at that moment like, how do I get saved, oh God?
Yeah.
But we were fishing, man. We were going in there fishing, right? Yeah. Understand this. We all have a choice. You have a choice in the way you live, how you conduct yourself. There is one way that leads to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Okay? God don't want your opinion. He doesn't want your opinion. You know what I mean? You telling God what you feel is right is mute. You understand? Well, I feel as long as we believe we're married, that we should be able to do what we want. Mute that. That your opinion doesn't matter. The marriage bed is undefiled. That's truth. Oh, but my thoughts on that is like, if two people really love each other, this guy's like, mute that. That's your opinion.
Right.
That's your thoughts. That's your ways.
Right.
When have I changed my attitude toward what's fornication and what's not?
Right.
What you're doing needs to be repented of.
Yes.
I hear repentance.
Right.
What you're doing needs to be repented of, okay? If you make it your thoughts and your ways, you're taking off my garment and putting on yours.
Yep. Right.
And you can't get here like that.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, as Lord was telling me this about all these, because, you know, I stopped and said, well, you know, some Catholics don't know that the Vatican, and God's like, shut up. he didn't say it like that, but he was like, listen to what I'm saying. It was like almost like he was yelling at me. Why are you trying to make excuses for something that's not truth? Because I'm sitting there trying to negotiate with God, which is what humans do.
Yeah.
We want to negotiate whether it's really wrong or whether it's right. No, you can repent of what's wrong, but then it stays wrong.
Yeah.
Don't try to justify it, because in hell, as you're burning and you're in torment, there'll be no one to hear your cries, no one to say, okay, you can get out tomorrow, none of that. You understand? This is why God says, stick to what I say, because it'll save a life.
Yes, yeah.
That's right.
So I got yelled at trying to justify people. Now I want to read something. Lord said, write this down. Once I get saved, I can live any way I want. Once I get saved.
Wow.
Who believes that? Once I get saved, I can live any way I want. Why? Because I'm already saved.
Oh.
And God sewed the Holy Spirit up inside of me. He sealed.
He's
like, help, I don't want to be in here. This person is horrible. No, the Holy Spirit's not doing that. If you read Ezekiel chapter 9, there was so much sin inside the temple, which you are the temple of the living God. There was so much sin inside the temple that God ordered the Spirit, His Spirit, to raise up from out of the temple and go into the outer court.
Yeah.
Then the next chapter, he says, even the outer court is too close. Move further away from the temple. Because there was so much sin in the temple, God would not allow His Spirit to live in there.
Wow.
And it's the same way with you, because you are the temple of the living God.
Yeah.
If there's too much sin in the temple, and God would call. He said, Ezekiel, come here. Look in the hole. Look what you see. He said, oh, my goodness. They're baking cakes to Tumas, and the priests are fornicating inside of the temple. And he said, come over here. I'm going to show you even worse things. And then he says, tell my Holy Spirit to rise up from out of there. And the Shekinah glory rose up and moved to the outer court. And he said, no, that's still too close. Get even further away from that temple. So don't tell me once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Because God will take his Holy Spirit.
He will.
And in the book of Revelation, he says, if you do not change your ways, I will come and take my lampstand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So don't say that God does not say that. Now, so God said, I want you to read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. And if somebody still believes that they can be in Christ and still, I could say so many things. We've been pastors so long, Pastor Ben. There have been men here and women, but I'm saying men at the time because that's what I'm thinking of, that were treating their wives like dirt. At home, but at church, hey, Pastor Ben, hey, Pastor Sandy, God bless you. Ha ha.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
But the wife would come in like this. So we knew something was wrong, right?
Right.
But he thinks because he's at a church that knows about the rapture, he's about to get taken in the rapture. So how he behaves at home doesn't really matter concerning how he lives, right? But you know, so. We have to understand something. Don't be your own worst false prophet.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't you be your liar. Amen. Read the Bible and let the Bible conduct your life. And the seed that comes from the Word of God will change your heart and your ways. Amen. There's things right now that are so, that I used to do, that if I think about it, I cringe now. You know what changed that? The Word of God and the Holy Spirit inside of me. So the Word can change you. It can change the way you think, how you talk. Remember I told you I was using profanity every day, never repented, nothing. It was a beautiful thing. That's why I just woke up cursing and I went to sleep cursing. Then I got saved and this big argument inside of me over my language started. God, like, I don't like that, your language. You got to stop. Don't even say that word. So then in my intelligence, I said, well, if I spell the word out, then I'm not saying it. Then I'd say you, and then I'd say the letters, and then I don't have to repent because I didn't say it.
Yeah.
I spelt it. That's your own false prophet inside of you going, yeah, you're okay with that one, buddy.
Yeah.
You'll get to heaven like that. Put your money in the bucket. Keep going. You get down, right? You're lying to yourself. You're your own member, and you're lying to yourself.
Amen.
Your favorite member is you. Here we are.
Hallelujah.
It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and again entangled in and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning.
Yes.
Simplify that. If you accept Christ, you start living for Jesus. And you're doing good, you're moving forward, and you get entangled back into the world, right? And you go and you start, well, and then you start justifying instead, because the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will start talking to you.
Amen.
You need to repent. You need to get out of this situation. You need, oh man, the Holy Spirit, I was living with a girl, the Holy Spirit was telling me, if you don't get out of this, I'm telling you, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You got to get, I don't care where you go live. Live outside, but you can't stay here. And the Holy Spirit's just talking to me. And I'm praying like, Lord, help me. I got to get out of here because he's on me so hard, you know? And then finally, I got a way to get out of there, and I repented and everything. But I'm telling you, God is never going to agree with your sin. You understand? The Holy Spirit is in you, and the Word of God is here to correct you and pull you out, to prepare you so you don't have on your own garments when you get to the wedding feast.
Amen.
You can't have your own thoughts and your own beliefs. Okay?
Amen.
So, here it is.
10 minutes, Pastor.
It says, perfect. It says, If anyone have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off than at the end than they were in the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their back and their back on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverb is true: a dog returns to his vomit, and a pig that washes goes back to wallowing in the mud. So that's God's strong feeling about once saved, always saved. I'm born again, but I'm just at the strip club. I'm born again, but I'm just smoking some weed. That's all. But I'm born again. And you might do a Sandman, like, even the burning bush was in the Bible. 19 and a false prophet already. God understands. Now he tells you, the cannabis is good for your health. So it's good to smoke it. And he goes, ha.
Yeah.
Because he is a preacher, right? yourself. That's yourself preaching. That's yourself preaching. Ha. Marijuana's good. Ha. But we in love. Ha. All the stuff you preaching to you. All the stuff you preaching to you that don't agree with the word is your thoughts and your ways. Y'all stop. I'm trying to preach here. I tell you, I'm gonna ask God to make me more serious. But it's funny because this is how we think, and we're not thinking like God thinks. But he says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And he said, this is what you need to stick to.
Yeah.
Because my thoughts and my ways are my word, like the water coming down, sprinkling in your heart, and it's supposed to produce fruit. And if it's not that, you're making a big mistake and you're starting to preach to yourself.
Right.
So you told yourself, you're going to be a black Hebrew Israelite, and it's now it's time to hate the Jews because they really stole the black man's land. You preached that gospel to you.
Right.
You preached the gospel to you that Jesus was only an angel. He couldn't have been God. That's your gospel. You preach that gospel to you. Well, I can believe in Jesus, and I can count my beads and have my statues in my house and pray to my statues and pray to my beads, and I can pray to Jesus at the same time. It's all just Christianity.
Right.
That's you preaching.
Right.
That's not the word of God. So now you're trying to get into a wedding feast with the wrong garments on. You decided, I know the king gave me this garment, but I've sewed my own. And you're trying to get into the wedding feast. And it says he's going to order the angels to take you and throw you into outer darkness. Because you're trying to do this your way. Last thing the Lord told me, for every Christian to examine this, if there is somebody that you know, that you says, I love Jesus, but I hate that person. Your garment is off. Because if you can't forgive that person, okay? It says, the scripture says, then Christ cannot forgive you. Now, the Lord told me this as well. If there's people that have done things to you and you stay away from them, you don't hate them, you just stay away from them. Why? Because you know they're bad news.
That's
they
right.
lie, and you can't trust them.
Right.
You don't hate them,
right.
but you just stay away from them.
Right.
When they call, leave a message, because I ain't talking to you.
Amen. voicemail.
Now, if he leaves a message and says, I'm dying of starvation, I need a burger, then go by, get him a burger and buy it and throw it to him and leave. And leave. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Because God says, my people aren't fools.
Right.
I'm not telling you to forgive and forget. Forgive and be wise.
Right.
You understand?
Amen.
You don't have to be around people that hurt your feelings.
Right.
You don't, but you don't, you can't hate them.
Right.
You understand?
Amen.
You can't hate them, but you, so forgive them in your heart. If they call and they need something to drink, they're about to starve to death. You cannot hate them to the point that you don't care about their life.
That's right.
And you can pray for them. So all of these thoughts and ways that we have, we want to make sure that we're not our own best member in a false church.
Amen.
Preaching to ourselves about what the right garment is or what the thing we should have to enter into the kingdom. This is a big problem for me as a pastor right now, because people call me about the rapture. Oh, when the rapture comes. And then they tell me about their life and what went wrong and how this, and I'm like, you were where doing what? And I'm like, or I'm talking to them and in the middle of the conversation they start cursing. And I go, you do remember you're talking to Pastor Sarah? And they go, excuse my language, Pastor. See, I'm seeing stuff like, see, because the water that came down that's supposed to change me said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I let that sink in, and it produced a fruit that says, man, I can't even spell words. I can't say them. I can't think them.
Right.
Because I thought something one time, and the Holy Spirit said, what'd you say? I was like, I didn't say anything. But I realized the Holy Spirit listened to what I say.
Yep.
I was getting on the metro, a guy was smoking cigarettes as you're getting walking up the thing, and it's all full of smoke. I went, stupid. I didn't say but I called him a name. Like, I didn't say, man, he needs the Lord. I should stop and talk to him and pray. I called him stupid because he was smoking cigarettes where people walk in. I sat down, the Holy Spirit said, what'd you say? It's not like your parent talking to you. Like, repent, you need to repent of that now. Why didn't you tell them about Jesus? Why don't you go back and ask him if he's saved? I got up. Excuse me. You know the Lord, man. I'll be praying for you. What's your name? So now I'm doing it only because my parent told me, right? Because the Holy Spirit is a parent living inside of you.
Yeah.
That's why you walk by the Spirit and not by flesh, right? The flesh is the two-year-old or the teenager. So I walk by the Spirit, and the Spirit told me, go back and apologize and tell them, you know, that Jesus loves them. So the Word of God is in us to do what? Change who you are.
Yeah.
Let it change you. Let it make you treat your wife better. Let it make you talk better.
Wow.
Let it make you care about people. Let it make you pray for people that have done you wrong. Let it do those things, because that's what it's supposed to produce.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't try to get into heaven with your own garment on. It's crazy.
Because
you'll get kicked out.
Wow.
And you'll be in outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. The Lord is coming. He's coming for his people. And he says, I don't care what the enemy's doing. Who cares? His judgment is set. His torment is set. Who cares what he's doing? His banishment is set. I'm caring about my people, that they're ready, and they're ready to go. Because the time has never been closer. So let's examine ourselves and make sure that the word is causing fruit to grow, and not just bouncing off rocks. You understand?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Excellent. Amen.
Hallelujah.